few weeks ago, I was walking and thinking and praying and meditating, and I come up with a title to my sermon, 10 Things I Want to Do Before I Die. And it's not a bucket list. I went on the internet thinking maybe I get some better ideas than what I had, and there was a book written, 10 Things I Want to Do Before I Die. I thought that was my original idea. I guess it's not. But my 10 things I want to do before I die, and hopefully I will communicate well enough that you will think, you know, those are 10 things I want to do before I die. And I need to set the stage that we could die, I could die today or in the next 24 hours. And if that is possible and true, then the 10 things I want to do, I got to do today. And so it's not a bucket list that I have plenty of time to fill, but these are 10 things that each day I have thought about that I want to make sure I do today, because I might die. As Pastor Parker saying, we think we have plenty of time. Or as the three actors this morning thought, you know, not now, Lord. I didn't think you're going to take me right now. We think we have plenty of time. But we need to be sober and think about perhaps our life will come to a sudden end. Many of you know Bill Hempel was planning to have a surgery on a tumor in his kidney. And he was going to go to Florida for a month to wait for the upcoming surgery, and went out Monday and fell on the ice, hit his head really hard, had to have brain surgery, probably almost died. He said, what a dumb thing I did. You never know. Gary Smith was here one day working on a computer, and now he's in a hospice care or a hospital care, and fighting for his life, trying to recruit. You never know what a day will bring. And therefore, I would challenge myself and us this morning to think about the 10 things I need to do today. Because I never know when an accident will happen or when the Lord would take me home. We don't have a lot of time necessarily. So follow along in your notes there, and I'll give you an acrostic of the 10 things that I've come up with that I want to do before I die, realizing that I need to do all these things today. The first thing is, and we'll turn to some of the references that I put there. The first thing is I want to believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Let me read Romans chapter 10 if you're not there. To turn there, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, that if thou confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was 8 years old. That's 70 years ago. I remember in a bedroom upstairs in the farmhouse asking Jesus to be my Savior. No one else was in the bedroom. I came to this conviction that I needed Christ. I didn't want to die without him. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. I vaguely remember that event. And it's not that event necessarily that saved me. But over the years, I have given evidence by my godly living and trusting the Lord and living by faith and serving Him. That's evidence that I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I think it's all too easy for some to go back to a childhood decision, but there's been no change in your life. There's been no improvement as far as growing in the Lord. I want to make sure today that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is your Savior and Lord, and there's evidence of it in your life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. The things that are mentioned there in that paragraph is some of the virtues that God expects to characterize or develop in our lives. And if those things are being developed in our lives and it's evidence in our life and people see it in our life, then truly you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. But just don't depend on some decision that you made years ago, and perhaps it was real, maybe it wasn't, it didn't do any change in your life. Make sure today you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. For when you die, you don't have any other decision to make. Either you are saved or you're not saved. So before I die, I want to make sure I am truly born again. And I have the assurance, I am confident, that I have trusted Christ as my Savior and I confess Him as my Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall believe in Him shall be saved. My second thing on my list is express love to your family and friends. I'd like to have you turn to Acts chapter 20 and verses 36 and through 38. Paul, the apostle, was visiting on his mission trip, and he returned to the city of Ephesus. And as he was leaving, he called for the various pastors and the elders in that area to come and talk to him. And he ministered to them, and he shared sort of like what the pastor Odo was doing in Peru, getting all the missionaries together and challenging them and living for them. And then it was time for him to leave. And these elders, these pastors, knew that they would never see the apostle Paul again. And in verse 36 in Acts chapter 20, we find this: when he had said these things, that is Paul, he knelt down and prayed with them. You can just see them gather around him. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoken, that they would see his face no more, and they accompany him to the ship. I think I want to every day express in a tangible way love to my family and friends. Before I leave my wife in the morning, not knowing I could be in an accident, I might not come home, I make sure I kiss her goodbye. I want to make sure there's nobody that I know that I didn't say some kind of expression, I love you. One of the hardest things that we need to do is for me anyway, is to express love. My dad, I can never hear him say, I love you, Craig. Now, I knew my dad loved me. He wasn't a Christian. He got saved about a year before he died. In his will, he left the farm and all the business to one of my older brothers, which we all understood. But he said this in his will: I love you all. That meant so much to me. And I want to make sure I say to my kids, when we talk on the phone, I love you, son. And I want to say to my wife, maybe as I go out the door, I love you. Before I die, let's make sure we express love and hugs, because you never know what a day. I wouldn't want to go in anger and not say I loved and have her die, or I die, and to live with that final parture the rest of my life. So every day, one of my things I want to do is make sure I tell people I love them, and to express that love with hugs and kisses, although they might be hard to do. I remember a pastor back in New York. He and his wife always came to a conference. She always came with him, and he would always jokingly say, well, I'd rather bring her along than kiss her goodbye. And that's not the kind of kissing goodbye I'm thinking about, but kissing her because we love her. Make sure you kiss your wife goodbye, because when you go out that door, you have no guarantee that by the end of the day you would come back, or you might hit your head on the ice, or something might seriously happen, and you might be able to never say that again. So before I die, knowing that I could die today, so I want every day to make sure I'm saved, make sure I express love to my family and friends as the day come to an end. The third thing that I want to do before I die on my list that I want to do is be forgiven by those I offended and by those who offended me. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would like to turn there, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 32 gives some very practical application. Verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And then down in verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Sort of sad to hear people say, I'm not going to go to that church. Because 20 years ago or 10 years ago, somebody said something to me that really offended me, and I left that church. I'm not going to go back to that church. How sad. Don't let a day go by that you haven't forgiven somebody that maybe offended you, or ask someone that you know you have offended, you said something wrong. Go to that person. Don't let the day end and ask for forgiveness or give forgiveness. Forgive. Have a clean slate to your personal relationship. Don't hold a grudge or have an unforgiving spirit. Every day, make sure you forgive people. Make sure you seek forgiveness. Don't hold a grudge. Make things right. So before I die, not only do I want to believe and make sure I'm saved, not only do I want to express love in tangible ways to my family and friends, but I want to be forgiven. I don't want to have a day end and knowing someone said something to me that offended me, or I did something that offended them. Make sure we have good relationship with our family and friends and seek forgiveness today, because you never know. You think you have plenty of time. It's hard to do, but it's really something that we ought to practice every day. Make sure we have good relationship with each other. The O on the list that I have, the 10 things I want to do, the fourth thing is owe no one anything except love. Perhaps the passage that we know quite well is in Romans chapter 13, where we find that scripture in that emphasis talking about redemption and salvation and all that. Owe no one anything except love one another. There's an interesting verse also, and I wrote down there in Psalm chapter 37 and verse 21. It says, the wicked borrows and does not repay. I want to make sure we all have current bills and we all want to stay as current as we can. But make sure that we don't owe something that perhaps we should be paying now, maybe staying out of debt, getting out of debt, living within our income, even below our income. Make sure your bills are current. Don't owe anyone anything except love. Make sure before you die financially, you are living within your income, paying your bills, making sure you're not going to die and that left undone. I remember one of my neighbors, when I was back in New York, was having some hard time. He helped me, I helped him, and he needed some money just to save his house. And so Shirley and I loaned him $3,000. That was 10 years ago. I never got the money back. I tore up the agreement. He signed that I'll pay you back. He put his name to it. It was as legal as you can get it. But he never paid me back. And I've forgiven him that. I realize I never get that money back. And that's all right. It's really the Lord's money. We did what we felt right. When we loaned him, Shirley and I thought, we'll probably never get it back. Don't be someone that you owe money to and you didn't keep your word. Before you die, make sure you take care of it. And therefore, you ought to take care of those debts today, if at all possible, that you don't die, that you don't leave this life owing a lot of people and thinking that you're not responsible for it. So before I die, I want to make sure that financially we owe no one anything except love. The next thing I want us to think about, the 10 things I want to do before I die, is to rejoice evermore smile, whistle, have a positive, upbeat attitude. I want to be happy when I die. I don't know if I'll be the first one laying in a casket with a big smile on my face or not. But I want to die happy. As I get older, I don't want to become grumpy. I don't want to get sour. I don't want to fight old age. There's no reason we can't be happy. Philippians chapter 4, you know the verse well probably, but let me just read it for you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let me look at a few Proverbs, if you would take time. Proverbs chapter 15, some interesting Proverbs about being merry, being happy. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Chapter 17 and verse 22, we read, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. Why be grumpy? Why be sad? Why be despondent? Why not be happy today? It might be the last day of your life. Be cheerful. Many of you know that I whistle. Unconsciously, I whistle. Sometimes I'm whistling a tune that I don't even know what I'm whistling until someone reminds me. And I think that expresses happiness. I tell people, you know, God whistles. So if God whistles, you say, where does God whistle? Well, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 26, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 18, when he was going to bring the Israelites, an enemy from Babylon, over to punish them, the Bible says he whistled. Come on over here. Deal with these people. In the King James, it said the word hiss, but it's really the word whistle. And so I figured if God whistles, I can whistle. And be happy. This might be the last day of your life. Rejoice. Be excited about life. And be upbeat. Be merriful and joyful. Reflect on God's goodness, both material and immaterial. So before I die, I want to be happy. I want to be happy every day. I want to express that joy. I want to be rejoicing in God's many, many blessings. And so today, before I die, I want to express that power of happiness and whistling and upbeat and being positive, because this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. So rejoice evermore. Smile. Maybe whistle. Maybe hum. Maybe sing. But have an upbeat attitude today. The last day of your life, maybe. So before I die, I want to rejoice and be smiling and happy and upbeat. The next thing I want to do before I die, the letter E, I want to be excited about Christ's return and the prospect of heaven. Now, this is not one of my strongest points, I want to tell you, because I love life. I love my family. I love serving the Lord and what I do. I want you to know I really want to be 100 years old. But regardless of that, this might be the last day of my life. So I want to be excited about either Jesus coming again or he's going to take me into glory. We have two men that are in hospice. They will probably die this week. And I try to read scripture and try to talk with the family. They're going to go to glory. It's far better to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We ought to be excited about that. Oh, yes, we'll miss them. Yes, that relationship will break. But we know where they are going. We know where we are going. And we shouldn't be afraid necessarily of that. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verses 21 through 23. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We ought to be excited about that prospect. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Verse 23, for I am in a hard press between the two things, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And then I'd like to have you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we know verses that we often think about at a funeral. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, verses that are often read at a committal service. We ought to be excited about Jesus is coming again. Verse 16, for the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We ought to be excited about the Lord's coming. We ought to be excited about the prospect of heaven. We ought to be excited about Jesus is coming again. A couple years ago, I think it was, we had a missionary conference, and one of the missionaries was Waleed Batar from Canada, working with the Arab people. He believed that Jesus is going to come today. So when you greet him in the morning, he would say something like this, sort of in a sorrowful way. He didn't come. He didn't come. You know, we ought to be excited about it. We ought to anticipate him coming, even though it might not be our strong emphasis, at least in my life. Before I die, I want to make sure I'm thinking about heaven. I'm thinking about Jesus could come today. And that ought to motivate us and excite us as we serve the Lord. So that's before. Those are the things that I want to do before. And then the letter I, before I die. You've heard me say it before. I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, at the end of his life, said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. As senior adults, we try to keep that model before us. Finish strong. Finishing strong. Keep the faith. Outwardly, our body, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, outwardly our body is wearing down. 1 Corinthians, it should be, not 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, we read that outwardly we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing or wasting away. Yet inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The body could wear down. Maybe we can't do physically all the things that we want to do. Some of us are like Caleb. 85 years old, give me that mountain. Finish strong. Keep serving the Lord as long as you can. Even though you can't physically do it, make sure your soul and your spirit is strong. Shirley and I want to finish strong. We retired officially in April of 2012. We felt we had one more ministry left in us, and you gave us that opportunity, and that was over 6 years ago. And we want to finish strong. Serving the Lord. Before I die, I want to finish strong. Oh, maybe I have to go on hospice. Maybe the body will quit, you know, functioning properly. But in my heart, in my spirit, in my soul, I want to keep clinging to the Lord, keep trusting the Lord, keep living for the Lord, keep praying to the Lord. I want to finish strong. I want to do that today because I might die. I want to go out strong. The Apostle Paul was like. And then the last three. Develop a set my house in order file. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. There was a king that the Lord said, you're going to die. And the prophet told him to set his house in order. 2 Kings chapter 20, it was Hezekiah. Although the Lord said, you're going to die, set your house in order. Later on, he prayed and God gave him some extra years to live. But we don't know how many more years to live. I personally want to make sure that I have a file, that I have all of my insurance papers, all of my bank accounts, all of my funeral arrangements,
all of the data that when I die, no one knows what to do or where to go. They can go to one file, and there is everything in order. In 2 Kings chapter 20, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Well, you can't do that after you die. You got to set your house in order. I think that taking care of all the paperwork and all the detail that you know all about, that's very private, very personal. Maybe you and your wife know. Maybe your wife doesn't know. Checking account, banking account, where your money might be in money market. All of that, you should organize it in a file so that when you die, the person who has to care for you, the power of attorney or your loved one, they can go to this file and make sure everything is done properly. A couple, 3 years ago, under the advice of Glenn Rohrbach and others, my wife and I put everything under a family, golden family trust. Because I think it would be a lot easier to care for all those details. When I die, it just goes on to the next one. Shirley and I die, it goes on to our family. It's a golden family trust. We ought to do that before we die. Make it easy. Get your house in order. Don't procrastinate. You might think this is funny, but Shirley and I even have our casket picked out. We haven't bought it yet, but we know what it's going to look like. We know the company we're going to buy it from. We went and visited the casket factory along with some senior adults, and we saw it, had our name on it. It was golden cedar or whatever it was. We got a picture of it. It's in our file. We ought to take care of things as much as we can. You think I got plenty of time, Pastor? These three young people think, well, we got, not today, Lord. Not, I didn't think you're going to call me today. Today, take care of that. Work on those details. Before I die, I want to put my house in order, to have a set, my house in order, call it a file or files where that can be easily. So develop that before you die. I like 1 Corinthians chapter, sort of helped me. If you know who I am, I like to organize things. I like to have things in order. In 1 Corinthians, and that was wrong in the handout, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. It's in the area of tongues, the confusion of tongues, the chaos of tongues. But anyway, the verse ends like this. The chapter ends with this verse. Let all things be done decently and in order. That verse has helped me so much. God is a God of order. My life should be a life of order. Order your life. Organize it so that when you die, it's not chaotic. Your house is not messy. Your files are all organized so people can carry on. Your will, of course, you should have. Everybody should have a will and how you're going to distribute your things. So before you die, develop a set my house in order file. I've worked on that. If I had to die today, I still got maybe a little more fine-tuning some of that. But make sure you develop a set my house in order file. And then the letter I, instrumental. You're going to say, when I say it, it's going to sound, I thought you said you're going to die maybe today. But I want to be instrumental in one more bus trip. I've been doing bus trips for 30 years. I got all the bus trips planned for 2019. I'm working on 2020. We plan on going to Omaha with a group of you folks in 2020. I want to do one more bus trip. But you said, well, if you're going to die, how can you do one more bus trip? You got to do it today. What motivates me is Luke chapter 19. It's a parable that the Lord gave. In Luke chapter 19, he talks about a parable of a nobleman who was going to go away to get his kingdom. And he gave his men a certain amount of money. And he gave them this commandment in Luke chapter 19 in verse 13. I apply it to my life that Jesus has gone back to heaven, but he's coming again. And in my lifetime, he has given me a ministry to do. Make sure I be in the ministry, actively preaching, either full-time or part-time, 50 years. And I've been trying to fulfill that ministry that God has given me. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, part of the parable said, so he called the 10 of his servants. He delivered them to the 10 minus. And he said to them, he gave them money to do, I'm going to go away. You invest this money. You invest your life. You serve me till I come. And he said, do business till I come. That's the King James. I think the King James says, occupy till I come. The New King James says, in other words, until he comes, until you die, stay busy. So that's why I want to plan one more bus trip. I might not die today. So I'm not going to go up into a mountain and sit and wait, or I'm not going to go to the hospital and wait for, death to happen. I'm going to do the business that God wants me to do. I'm going to be actively serving God, and part of my ministry is planning bus trips along with other things. I'm not going to sit back in a lazy boy chair and wait for me to die. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to plan as if I got a whole year ahead of me or several years ahead of me. But I'm ready to die. But I'm going to be busy while I'm dying. So 10 things I want to do before I die. I want today be preaching and teaching and planning and serving and visiting and praying and giving of myself today. I want to do that every day before I die. And then the last thing, 10 things I want to do before I die. And this is really important. I want to endorse God's will over my will. You're familiar when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's facing death and he's praying. His sweat was like great drops of blood. He was agonizing. And we're gonna remember that tonight in communion and appreciate all that he's done for us. And he says these famous words, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I want to endorse God's will for my life, whatever that might be. And sometimes that will is a lot different than I was thinking of. A verse that has, or verses that has helped me. Many of you know that I have memorized the book of James. And James chapter 4, in verses 13 through 15, every morning, almost without exception, you can check with my wife as Shirley and I pray together. And we talk about what's going to do today and how, God, we need your help. We can't do it without you. Every day I pray this prayer, or I remind myself this prayer. Some will say, come now, you who say, James chapter 4. Today or tomorrow we will go in such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. We have all these plans. We're going to make money. We're going to live. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow or today. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And here's a prayer I pray every morning. Instead, you ought to say, I think this is what we're going to do, Lord. We're going to go to the office. We're going to go make this hospital call. We're going to do this trip. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live. And then we're going to do this and that, whatever God's will is. Endorse God's will for your life and not yours. Endorse God's will over my will. I think this is what I'm going to do today, Lord, but you might have other plans. And he does often have other plans. We might plan, nothing wrong to plan, but just remember you ought to endorse God's will over your own will. So those are the 10 things I want to do before I die. And by the grace of God, I work at those 10 things every day, trying to make sure that they are accomplished, because you never know when the Lord might call you home or the Lord might come for us all. I hope that you can compile a similar list of things that I want to do before I die. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.